Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. It's good to have you all with us. I'll remind you on the way to this conversation, the Mark Steiner Show is sponsored in part by the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. Mortgage late? Don't wait. If you're struggling with your mortgage, the state of Maryland is offering housing counseling and legal assistance. Maryland's HOPE program can even help you understand the state's mediation law and the Attorney General's National Foreclosure Settlement. Don't wait. Get help today. More information at mdhope.org or at 877-462-7555. We are going to examine some of these conversations that took place by President Barack Obama and the First Lady, Michelle Obama, in their addresses to graduates of this year, college graduates. Many people arguing that the messages sent out to graduates of black institutions were different than white institutions, and what does that mean? People have been writing about it all week long. And we have with us here Dr. Kimberly Moffitt, once again, Assistant Professor of American Studies at UMBC, and Keith Snipes, actor, narrator, writer, and social commentator, back in the studio, both of them. And shortly, Kay Wright will be joining us, editorial director of ColorLines.com, who wrote a piece, and a reporting fellow of the Investigative Fund at the Nation Institute. But right now, Dr. Kimberly Moffitt and Keith Snipes, welcome. Good to have you both in the studio.
Good morning, Mark. Good to
Thank
be
you.
Here.
So there's been a lot written about this, and whether or not when President Barack Obama says that, and by the way, folks, lines are open. We really want to hear your thoughts at 410-319-8888. I'd say a large number of people who listen to this program have experienced or have graduated from HBCUs and like to hear your response as well. 410-319-8888. Write to us here, steinershow@gmail.com. Tweet us at Mark Steiner. So President Barack Obama says, I am not the president of black America. I am the president of all of America. Does that mean that the messages then become very different from that he speaks when he to black America than when he speaks to white America in terms of what he says and how he says it? Kimberly?
I think it does end up being so. I'm not sure where I stand on it in terms of if I agree with his stance or not. But I think as a politician, he's fairly consistent with providing us middle-class rhetoric and sharing with us the Horatio Alger stories of pull yourself up by your bootstrap, American exceptionalism, all things that are fairly consistent with what we expect of our politicians to offer. Again, very much down the middle of the road, middle-class rhetoric that will hopefully draw all sides to where he wants them to be. But I think the difference in what we see happening at HBCUs in terms of the speeches there is in some way the Obamas feel like they're with family and that they can have certain familial conversations that they probably would have in smaller settings, but they're forgetting that they're in a very public space and a space in which their voices are reverberating around the country the moment they say something that seems to negate the experience of black Americans.
I think that's absolutely correct, and I think it depends on whose ears his message falls on. I think in one way, what he is saying is absolutely correct. There are some actions, some corrective actions that need to be taken within our community, but there are corrective actions that need to be taken in America.
Absolutely.
And I think that one of the concerns that I have is that his message tends to perpetuate a narrative about black people in general and about black males in particular. But that kind of scathing, yet honest, but scathing observation about our community, again in general, and black males in particular, is never heard when he's addressing white audiences. Mm-hmm. And I would submit that there is quite a bit of havoc wrecked on this country and throughout the globe that is at the hands of white males. But he never says that with the kind of familial or relaxed tone that he does when he's talking about black men.
Well, two things, and then I'm going to get more specific about what was said. What you were saying earlier, Kimberly Moffitt, I mean, could the president or the first lady really forget where they are, where they're speaking?
Oh, absolutely not.
America's listening. This is not like you're sitting in somebody's living room and having a conversation with friends.
But I don't think it's any different than what we tend to do when we're in a space or an environment that we feel more comfortable and at home, that we have a tendency to allow our rhetoric to sound more comfortable. And so I don't think it is accurate. I want to make it clear that I struggle with the decision to be very public with some of the comments that are being made. But I agree with Keith that this is something, this is an honest conversation that does need to be had and does need to be heard. But the way in which it comes across does seem to denigrate the very people that he suggests he's helping.
And I think there's also, for maybe the President of the United States and for most Americans, and I'm trying to figure out how to put this in a way that, because it's kind of unclear in my head, but it just popped as I was listening to what you were saying, Keith Snipes, is that there's a lot written about the problem with black men not being with, taking care of their children. This is a huge national thing that goes on all the time. The whole question of white men in society is not addressed really by the major media at all on any level. I mean, any part of our conversation.
Right.
But the conversation always is directed at what black men are not doing for their own community's betterment and for their own children. And even that has gotten to a point, has gotten so in such stereotypical ways that it's as if the majority of black men are not involved in children's lives, which is also not true.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So
that's correct.
So we are at that point. And so that lecture, in some ways, especially when you're talking to college graduates, people coming out of college, what message is that sending to the people who are sitting in that audience?
Well, Mark, for 6 years or maybe longer than that, I was assistant director of the Maryland Fatherhood Initiative. And I can assure you that there are black men who do not do what they're supposed to do as fathers, but there are white men who do not do what they are supposed to do as fathers. But again, putting that exclusively on the lap of black men perpetuates a narrative that suggests that black men are lazy, irresponsible, don't care about their children, and that's simply patently untrue. Fact is that there is a social arrangement. There are social dynamics that have to be taken into account. If you are going to make those kinds of criticisms, then you need to do things on a policy level that are going to correct those things that need to be corrected.
So Kay Wright has joined us. I'm going to get Kay Wright in the phone. He's only with us for another 15 minutes or so. And Kay Wright is editorial director of ColorLines.com and reporting fellow of the Investigative Fund of the Nation Institute. Kay, good to have you with us again.
Good to be here.
Kai, it's always good to have you with us, Kai. So, Kai, you wrote an interesting piece. Now, I talk about, from your perspectives, what these contradictions are you see in the speeches both at Morehouse and at Bowie State.
Well, you know, I have to say, I think that the values that you hear the president and the first lady, though she doesn't do it as often, articulating when they speak to black audiences, both in those speeches and in many speeches prior to that. These are actually, you know, they're deeply conservative, but they're deeply conservative middle-class black values that frankly are shared by most people in the community, right? Like I hear my parents, most parents have said these things to their kids, and they're all, you know, from that perspective, fine. The problem is that we don't need Barack Obama to be our parent. We need him to be our president. And that is the piece that he has insisted that he cannot do, right? He has insisted that I am not the president of Black America, I'm the president of all America, and so I cannot uniquely pay attention to Black people's issues. Now, I would deeply challenge that idea, not just for him, but for any president of the United States. But for him to take that posture, but then whenever he addresses Black folks, to make it about, well, now I'm going to be your father, I'm going to give you the parental lecture on how to be a good person, is just frankly insulting at this point, at this late stage of his administration. It's just become kind of tiresome and insulting.
So I think what is also interesting about this, I mean, because, again, I do find some of what he is doing troublesome, but it's also very paternalistic, read white, in terms of what he is trying to convey to us. But then I also, in reading the transcript of the speech, noticed the number of times that he quoted Benjamin Mays or the creed of the school, where he says, excuses are tools of the incompetent used to build bridges to nowhere and monuments to nothingness. And so I saw consistently throughout his speech this willingness to connect with what has already been part of the rhetoric that's being given to Morehouse men during their 4 to 5 year period. So if anything, he saw himself as trying to connect to his audience.
That?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
To connect with his audience. I'm sorry, go on.
I think the whole, if you watch the speech from the beginning, I mean, and this is what he does when he speaks to black audiences. I mean, he's very much, it's an in-crowd conversation, and he opens the speech with lengthy inside jokes about being a Morehouse man than anybody who's grown up black and male are familiar with, and sets it in, not only Mays, but Martin Luther King. And I think actually what you're hearing is set of what things he truly believes. I think Barack Obama is a deeply culturally conservative black man, and so he comes from a quite common political perspective, that political and cultural perspective that says, and he articulated this in the speech, that says, hey, you guys, the people who came before us, those are the people who really had to struggle, and they sacrificed for us so that I can be president and you can be a college graduate, and you now have nothing else to complain about, so pull up your pants and turn off the rap music and get to work. And, I've heard this from my father. I've heard this, and that's fine coming from your parent. It is not fine coming from the President of the United States.
So, but let me just read this one piece. I wish we had clips up, but we don't have clips. So let me just read this one piece that Obama said, the President said to Morehouse, nobody cares how tough your upbringing was. Nobody cares if you suffered some discrimination. And moreover, you have to remember that whatever you've gone through, it pales in comparison to the hardships previous generations endured, and they overcame them. And if they overcame them, you can overcome them too. Now, what does that say and what doesn't it say?
What he does not say is what that kind of rhetoric, he does not say that when he's talking to the LGBT community. He does not say that when he's talking to the Latino community. He does not say that when he's talking to women. He says that when he's talking to black America. And I cannot help but imagine in my mind that picture of the president apologizing essentially to a stupid cop that he called stupid. So I would think that he understands the imbalance of power that exists within this country when it comes to one pulling themselves up by the bootstrap. It depends on where the ground that your boots are stepping on.
Absolutely.
So until there is some parity created on a policy level, his critiques ring hollow. I think that he is saying the right things, but he's saying them under the wrong circumstances.
And he acknowledges that rhetorically, right? In the course of this speech, he actually had a really great line about and it was a bit of a riff where he talked about as Morehouse men that you had to work harder than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it's like not to be born on third base thinking you hit a triple, right? Great line, and it speaks to exactly what you're talking about. The problem is that then he will not leave that speech and go do something about that inequity in his presidency. And when asked to do so, he says, that is not my job. I am not president of black America. I have to work for everybody. And I think it's really important to point out, too, like really in a specific way, the men he was talking to, because of decisions in his administration, unemployment amongst black college graduates is twice that amongst their white peers. The debt burden amongst black college graduates is significantly higher than their white peers. Their parents are likely to have had, much more likely to have lost wealth in the course of the last few years rather than have used wealth to finance their kids' college education. All of those sorts of things are what we need to hear the president of the United States talking about when it comes to black people, not whether or not we're good fathers.
And those black males that graduate from Morehouse are more likely to get stopped and frisked in New York City than those white males who graduate from Harvard. And I think that is a crucial point. The reality is the deck is stacked in their favor and stacked against those black men who graduate from Morehouse.
And I think you're exactly right. But to also add the tinge of his very conservative perspective, he is also saying, let's not get focused or bogged down by blaming the victim. Let's do more about empowering the masses. And so how do we go about empowering the masses? Has he given a prescriptive to that? Absolutely not. And
right.
Nor do I expect him to be honest. But that's my
not at this late
right,
date.
Right. That is my perspective. But I do think there is an element of this conservative slant that he, in terms of cultural issues, where he is asking us to have a shift in our mindset, because that's the very thing that seems to be holding some of us back, that we find ourselves bogged down with all that is stacked against us, that it then becomes a way of looking at the world of we don't have the opportunity. Instead of shifting that mindset to say, oh, that means I just have to do this harder. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I just think that is something that he's trying to say, because even more important to me that I think rings clear is his conservative perspective also gives us a sense that he's taking away our ability to decide the kind of life that we want to have. Because why is it necessary that everyone should want to be a married individual with children, you know, doing a particular job in a particular way? I mean, all of that is giving us a sense of it has to be done a particular way in order for it to be considered right. And so for me, that's more problematic, because it should be about you have attained this particular goal. What is it that you want to do with it? And do it while you're on this life's journey.
Kai, I know you have to roll, right?
Yeah, I've got it a lot, I'm afraid. But it's a fabulous conversation. I hate to leave it.
Kai Wright, always good to talk to you. He's editorial director of ColorLines.com, reporting fellow of the Investigative Fund at the Nation Institute. Kai, always great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Take care. Talk soon.
Bye-bye.
So, and going back, you know, one of the things that Ta-Nehisi Coates, he wrote mm-hmm. some... He's been writing a lot of really great stuff, and mm-hmm. he wrote in the Atlantic Monthly, who he is on the editorial staff as well. Let me find this piece. He said, I think the statue of the Obama family, the most visible black family in American history, is a great blow to the war against racism. I'm filled with pride whenever I see them. There's simply no other way to say that. I think Barack Obama specifically is a remarkable human being, wise, self-aware, generally curious, and patient. It takes a man of particular vision to know, as Obama did, that the country really was ready to send an African-American to the White House. But I also think that someday historians will pore over many speeches to black audiences. They will see a president who sought to hold black people accountable for their communities, but was disdainful of those who looked at him and thought the same. They will match his rhetoric of individual responsibility with aggression the administration showed to bail out the banks mm-hmm. and the timidity they showed in addressing a foreclosure crisis which devastated black America again. They will weigh the rhetoric against an administration whose efforts against housing segregation has been run-of-the-mill, and they will match the talk of the importance of black fathers with the paradox of a president who smoked marijuana in his youth but continued a drug war that daily wrecks the lives of black men and their families. And all this, historians will see a discomforting pattern of convenient race talk. That's a pretty serious statement.
I think, Mark, in your last segment, you were talking about women in the military and the sexual assaults that are taking place. And your guest talked about the imbalance of power. And I think that what Mr. Coates is saying is that the president is not addressing the imbalance of power on a policy level. Mm. And until he does that, again, his criticisms, while some of it may be correct, it rings hollow until he does something on his perch of power that gives at least a greater chance to achieve what it is that he says we should aspire to.
On the way to the phones here, Kimberly, you want to have a thought on that?
Wanted to say that Coates is exactly right. And it's interesting because I often feel like these are the good days for the Obamas, because after he leaves office, he will find himself exposed to even more and greater criticism, because then there will be an opportunity for folks to reflect back and see what are the vestiges of what he did policy-wise in office. I mean, we often see that the vestiges happen, right? Few years pass when a president leaves office. And so what we see as a result of his policies after he leaves office, I think, will then raise greater criticism for him and his presidency.
Well, let's hear what our listeners think at 410-319-8888 as well. And Ernest, you're on the air.
You got the phone.
Ernest, you're on the air.
You got the phone.
Ernest, can you hear me? You're on the air. Ernest? Oh, Ernest, on hold this.
Yeah, good morning to you and your guests.
Hey, Ernest,
good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Barack Obama, for the first place, he was born in Hawaii. He had a white mother and was raised by a white grandmother and a white grandfather. So when he went to go to register in a school or stuff, or something like that, he had his white grandmother and white grandfather there with him. So he wouldn't go through the same problems as a black child going to a private school with a black grandmother or a black grandfather. He wouldn't have that same situation. And furthermore, he talks about what a black person should do. He invaded Libya and killed hundreds and hundreds of black people, black women, black children. And it's all over the air, and nobody says anything about it, you know. So he's concerned about black people, African people. He's got a war around the world against African people, and he's talking about, you know, when a person says that the Bush administration tortured a CIA agent, leaked the information, he prosecuted him. It was, and gave him time in jail. It wasn't something that he did. It's something that George Bush did. And Bradley Manning, I mean, this guy is getting a pass for no reason at all, just because of black skin.
Let me get some response.
I think I would not put that in the lap of Barack Obama, a war against black people around the world. I think that being the president of the United States, you're going to be at war with the world. And because the world is predominantly people of color, those are going to be the victims. But I think that does speak to the fact that there is an imbalance in power, and there is always a fight over resources. This country has always gone after Latin America. It has always gone after the Middle East, and it's always been about resources and power. But it's not the president that is waging these wars. It's the wealthy. It's the corporations. It's those who want to create market share. It's those who want to control territories.
A very quick thought. Jenna from West Baltimore, a quick thought, and welcome. Jennifer, you're on the air. We only have a few minutes left. Quick thought.
Yes. My gut reaction to the president's speech is, and as a graduate, a proud graduate of Howard University, I was insulted. I'm like, does he really know so little about black America? Does he really know so little about the students that go to historically black universities? Some of these kids, sure, they're generationally middle class, but some of them come from the ghettos of Baltimore, the ghettos of Philadelphia, the ghettos of New York. They understand, and that was not the time or the place to scold them. These are the exceptional. He didn't quote anything about the talented 10th. It was time to celebrate these young people.
All right. Is that important point? Kimberly?
Well, he actually did make reference to the talented 10th in his speech. But I also think that, again, he was speaking to the audience that he felt like he did know based on so much of Morehouse's history. One of the other quotes that he started out with very early on was from Benjamin Mays, where only part of it, he says, men who are sensitive to the wrongs, the sufferings, and the injustices of society, and who are willing to accept responsibility for correcting those ills.
But it's a continued disconnect election was Black America. And Michelle and Barack, who I voted for, I volunteered, I've walked the streets of many states to support them. However, they're not the only Black people in America who know how to raise children. We've been doing it for a long time. We've been doing it in single parents. But the difference today is our single parents and the single parents of my grandmother's generation, we did not have crack. We did not have drugs destroying our community. That's the best thing the president can do for Black America.
So Jennifer, let me just
work and remove drugs from our communities.
We're almost out of time. And Kimberly, you
So the only point I was making is it's fairly consistent when you have leaders at Morehouse who have made these kinds of statements about what Morehouse men look like and what they represent, that Obama was doing the same thing of trying to reinforce that point that they've heard for the last 4 years.
And I think there's the whole question. Well, we have so many more things we can delve into. We'll do
Absolutely.
Another day and complete this. First of all, thank our guests for being in the studio with us. Dr. Kimberly Moffitt, just heard assistant professor of American Studies at UMBC. Keith Snipes, actor, narrator, writer, and social commentator. Great to have you back in the studio as well.
Good to be here, Mark. Thank you.
And we'll thank Kai Wright for joining us earlier, the editorial director of colorlines.com. We'll continue this and more conversations tomorrow and into next week. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ Baltimore's credit union is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you. www.mecu.com, or you can go to steinershow.org and click on their banner. Mark Steiner is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Mark Gunnery, Bobby Marvin Holmes, and Stephanie Maronis. Our intern is Lila Warshaw. Theme music by Walt Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again, podcast, any of our past shows, just go to steinershow.org, or you can go to iTunes and listen and download all of our podcasts right there. And for public radio to be EAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care. Stay tuned now. Michelle Martin's coming up with Tell Me More. Don't go away.